You do care. You care a lot, actually. I do. Okay. So don't try to pretend that you don't. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm Hemel, and my guest today is one of my best friends.
Hi.
Rigel Marantel.
Hi. It's nice to be here.
Best friend since about sixth grade.
Yeah.
And the biggest comic book nerd I know.
Oh, my God. Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks. Waving at the crowd like Miss America.
So we started off talking about the Infinity War trailer.
Awesome.
Which is a precursor to what we really want to talk about, which is Thor Ragnarok,
yes,
which
yes.
was phenomenal.
Amazing.
Amazing.
We got to break every word down. Phenomenal. Spectacular.
So we're big fans of Marvel films.
Yes.
But I will say that Thor was not the most beloved franchise, regardless of how attractive Chris Hemsworth is. And we will get into how attractive Chris Hemsworth is very soon.
Could talk about it all day.
Yeah. But Ragnarok was like a revelation.
It indeed was. It was, it came out of nowhere, kind of,
yeah.
and kind of knocked the socks off of everyone, which
yes.
is amazing.
You can't really talk about Ragnarok without the context of the other two Thor movies,
yes,
and the mythology of Thor, which you actually yes. know a lot about.
I know some about.
You know some about it. My initial question for you was about Thor's place in like the Marvel universe, like whether
yes.
or not he was a popular character.
Yes,
because he didn't seem like a popular character.
So he kind of is. He's like I've told you before. He's actually one of the original founding mm-hmm. Avengers, which people think Cap is, but he isn't. Yeah, it was actually Thor, Ant-Man, Wasp, Iron Man, and the Hulk were the original founding members of the Avengers, and they teamed up to fight dun, 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 Loki,
oh.
like in the first movie. So
Loki was always the big bad.
Loki is, yeah, I mean, he's always been around. So okay. as long as there's been a Thor, there's been a Loki. Thor is a character that's been around, and please, fellow comic book people, if I mess this up, don't come for me.
Don't at me.
Thor is not one of my characters. I'm an X-Men guy, so. But he's been around since the 60s, so, you know, he's a character with a long history in the Avengers as a solo character. He has, you know, adventures on Asgard, on Earth, everywhere else you can imagine, so. He is a pretty big character, and I'd say in pop culture, maybe not as big, although I like to point out the Adventures in Babysitting
yes.
that everyone knows, the Mighty Thor from that. But yeah, I mean, I guess he hadn't made such a huge splash in pop culture until Avengers kind of started.
And the Thor movie came out before the first Avengers
yeah, yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
yeah. So in the context of those, I feel like Ragnarok is kind of a revelation because it brings, it flips the script on what Thor is and what he was.
Sure, sure.
Because as much as we liked him, it was a very one-dimensional character.
Absolutely.
He very much is just like fish out of water, handsome guy
yeah.
without any real, anything really compelling in his
there
story.
There was no depth. In the first movie, which I recently rewatched, he's just this bro, dumb, like, frat boy
yeah,
for
he's
most
like,
of it.
Yeah, he's like warrior bro.
Like you said, he's like this fish out of water character when he gets sent here and he's turned mortal and he can't lift the hammer and blah, blah, blah. And that kind of stayed with him through Avengers. So he was just kind of like over here, random actual god standing to the side, you know, kind of used as comic relief.
Yeah, comic relief slash he's
like,
almost there to like even humanize Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is weird. He's not really, I don't want to say a character in his own right because he is, but he's definitely a foil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So going back to the first movie, Kenneth Branagh directed that one,
yeah.
and he made it very, like, Shakespearean, right? It
mm-hmm.
was very much just the tale of a father who has to cast out his son because his son doesn't understand the responsibilities of being king,
yes.
Which I liked. I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that the MCU has progressed, it feels like old-fashioned.
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of, you know, the two brothers, and actually that is in line with his initial origin story. Mm-hmm. You know, Odin kicks him out of Asgard to teach him humility, and but makes him forget that he's Thor. It's this whole big thing. But yeah, I think that first movie kind of, it set it up like that. And but like you said, it's kind of quaint now. It's kind of cute. It's kind of romantic. And the funny thing is Loki ended up being the bigger character in that movie. Yeah. He ended up coming out like, oh, you know, he was almost the star of that movie.
Yeah. And one thing you said earlier, which is that it made Thor a bit player in his own movie.
Absolutely.
So one of the great things about it is the fan reaction to Loki, which I had not really anticipated. But he is a huge fan favorite. Mm-hmm. A lot of that has to do with Tom Hiddleston.
Absolutely.
A lot of it has to do with the way Loki is written, because here's this like complicated, damaged character who has felt sidelined his whole life. His golden god of a brother has gotten all the attention.
Yep.
And rightfully so, Loki is pissed. He's like, you're kidding me, right? Because this brute is not well suited for the throne.
Well, and on top of that, he finds out he's adopted.
Yeah.
And from like one of their worst enemies.
Right.
So it's like, Jesus. And the other thing is, you know, he's the god of lies. So sometimes he, you know, in the beginning of that movie, he's like ride or die with his brother. And then he's like being a jerk. I mean, that's just as you know, like, going through all the movies up to Ragnarok, like, he's good one moment and he's a dick the next, like, but that's how he is.
That's Loki.
Yeah.
I kind of want to talk about whether or not Loki has redeemed himself.
Sure. Yes. But then he goes and fucks it up again.
Loki, I thought the world of you. I thought we were going to fight side by side forever, but at the end of the day, you're you and I'm me. I know maybe there's still good in you, but let's be honest, our paths diverged a long time ago. Yeah. It's probably for the best that we never see each other again. That's what you always wanted. Hey, let's do get help.
What?
Get help.
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great, it works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing get help.
Get help! Please! My brother's dying! Get help! Help him!
A classic.
Still hate it. It's humiliating.
No, not for me, it's not.
Well, I think our problem is that we look for like definitive answers to characters, right?
Yeah.
Like we want Cap to always be good.
Yeah.
We want Tony. I mean, I always think Tony is good, so I don't think there's a bad there, but
like him in Civil War.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's kind of a jerk.
Absolutely.
But we always want these like definitive lines with our characters. And with Loki, there's a lot of up and down. You're never going to get that. So do you think they did right by Jane Foster or not?
I think it's fine. I never put that much stock into mm-hmm. that. You know, it wasn't anything I ever thought too much about or lost any sleep over. I'm just kind of like, okay, Jane Foster.
That love story was not one that I was super invested in.
The love stories in any of these Marvel movies are not anything I'm invested in really that much.
No.
It's just kind of like,
regardless of the love interest relationships, what relationships are you invested in?
Thor and Loki.
Cap and Iron Man.
That is a tough question.
Well, while you're thinking, I will say that the reason I asked the question is because one of the best things about Ragnarok was that it skipped the love story entirely.
Yes.
It completely was just like, we don't need it. It is extraneous.
Yep.
And it made the story so much better.
Absolutely.
To not have any kind of love interest, love story in there. It was just like, you know what? As a part of Ragnarok, like the apocalypse, it was a burning down of the old, up with the new.
Right.
And they very easily, you know, could have made Valkyrie a love interest. And I love just that little restraint that they didn't go there.
No, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Streamlined everything into just like, you know what? It's this action, funny, amazing, you know, film that doesn't have that, doesn't need it, doesn't, it's not relevant.
It's not. And the great thing about that also is that Valkyrie gets to be a person in her own right,
yes,
without having to without her importance being that, oh, she's also the love interest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
She's just a cool, badass chick who is there to help defeat Hela, the super evil villain.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's just like any other warrior in a movie.
She doesn't need to be Thor's love interest to like make her extra valuable. She's just valuable as the asset, you know, that she is. So what else did I want to ask you? Oh, yeah. So Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
A huge part of it.
Yes.
Is the humor.
Yes.
And how funny it was.
Yes.
And I feel like that humor and funniness actually couldn't have happened as like the first Thor movie out of the gate because it would have been too weird and too campy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in the context of the first two movies, it's like it's a huge revelation because it gives Thor a personality, which he hasn't had.
It gave him some depth. It gave the character some dimensions.
Gave him a spine.
It was awesome. Yeah, yeah. It was really good. Like how it fleshed him out some as opposed to just being like, all right, made me invested in the character, made me actually care what happened, and made me be like, oh, crap, all right, I hope things go well for him.
I'm rooting for you,
I
Thor.
I am, Thor, please, God, I hope he kicks Hulk's ass in the arena, you know?
Well, it humanizes them, right? So one of the big things that Marvel is very good at is humanizing its characters, making them relatable, even if they are gods.
Yep.
We have a hard time imagining, I have a hard time imagining Thor and Loki as like immortal beings or whatever.
Because
Marvel has done such a great job of bringing them down to our level.
They're just like brothers.
But both you and I walked away with raging Chris Hemsworth obsessions.
Absolutely.
Because I finally see Thor as an actual person.
Yes, and like an actual hot person.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he's been hot forever, right? Chris Hemsworth has been hot forever.
Yes.
But then he got that haircut, then everything changed.
That was a turning point. Like, it was legit. Like, I watched the first movie. And yeah, he's got like this insane body and this pretty face. The hair like detracts. I don't know. I was telling you, I watched the first movie again and I'm like, he was not that attractive in the first movie. Yes, he was like physically like, boom. But like, put a picture of him in the first movie and a picture of him in this last movie next to each other and he's like 1,000 times hotter.
So objectively, I agree with you, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he got 1,000 times hotter because he's a funny guy.
He's funny. He had a personality.
Yeah, because he wasn't just like,
like a meathead,
like a pretty face.
Absolutely, I agree.
So good for them on that one. But one of the best parts of Ragnarok was that Thor-Loki relationship, which, like you said, there was no real love interest.
No.
The main interpersonal conflict there is between the brothers, right?
Absolutely.
Because they've got to like get over their shit with their dad. They have to get over their shit with each other. And you can see Thor finally starting to like stand up for himself.
Yes.
Like he's not falling for Loki's tricks anymore. And it's like a weird sibling dynamic where, you know, I can't remember if he's the older or the younger.
He's the older.
Yeah. But there's like a sibling like coming into himself.
Absolutely.
But that seems like the big pivotal relationship in that movie is that sibling relationship.
It absolutely is. It's like them two off each other and kind of Thor, I don't know if I'd say standing up for himself, but just kind of like, he stopped kind of taking Loki's crap as just kind of taking it for granted, like not granted, but like just accepting it as is, like, okay, Loki's just going to be like, no, like being a dick.
Yeah. Like I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
Yes.
Or also just accepting the fact that Loki is going to be
Loki's going to do Loki and that's it. And, you know, and yeah, that plays throughout the whole thing, you know, when Loki shows up and like you said, one of the running gags is him throwing stuff at Loki. Yeah. And, you know,
there's a wonderful payoff in the end.
I hate you because I know you're not here. You're a jerk. And then, you know, he's there.
Yeah.
You know?
At the end, there's that wonderful scene where he's like, I'd hug you if you weren't here.
And he's like, I'm here.
I'm glad we both like that scene. Speaking of how hot Hemsworth is with his hair.
Oh, God.
Can we please talk about.
No, I don't want to talk about. Listen, so. Back to watching the first Thor movie again. I think Tom grew his hair out. And it
So I watched the first Thor one, and you're right. It's his natural
hair. It's his hair. Yeah. It looks natural. It looks okay. It looks fine. It does not take away or add anything to the character. It is just his hair.
Right.
His wigs
have progressively gotten worse.
I think after, and I haven't watched the first Avengers movie in a long time, I think his hair was still okay. I think it was still his hair. But I think once he got into Thor 2, it just went downhill. Because I think after that, he became a big movie star and he couldn't have weird hair. Like, he had to be in other movies and they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
So they kept putting wigs on him. And they're terrible wigs.
Yeah, they're like super janky wigs.
Like, Marvel, I know you can afford better wigs. I know this for a fact. I know you could probably afford better wigs for him on what I've spent on your comics my whole life. Like, I have personally given you my money, enough of my money to buy him better wigs. Because those are terrible.
Okay, so we spent a ton of time talking about Thor, talking about Loki.
Yeah.
We don't really talk about Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, who's just like fantastic in
the
this
best.
Film.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
He really, really, really is.
Also, do you know that he's 50?
I know that he's fine. I know that he's foxy. Foxy 50. I did not know that. But he just had a birthday.
He just had a birthday. I think he just turned 50.
Oh, I didn't know it was 50. Wow. Yeah. Well, he's
amazing.
I
read it on the internet, so I don't know if it's true.
It's definitely true. No, he's so good in this movie, and I think him and Thor's play off each other and everything is something that I think nobody really expected and ended up being so good.
So good. It is a weird, it's like a weird buddy cop movie across planets and galaxies, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. But theirs is like this little... It's almost like a traditional brotherly relationship, not the Loki-Thor relationship, because that's got issues. But this is like big brother, little brother, the one-upmanship, I totally won. I was totally out. And, you know, we're both like fire. Well, you're like a lame fire, and I'm like super burning hot fire. Like, that's hilarious.
We're the same, you and I. Just a couple of hot-headed fools.
Yeah, same. Hulk like fire, Thor like water.
Well, kind of both like fire.
But Hulk like raging fire. So I like smoldering fire.
And it's almost what you want to see in a lot of these superhero movies is those small interactions versus like the big set pieces.
Yes.
And Taika Waititi did a phenomenal job with it. I think that it takes a lot of balls to just be like, you know what, we're gonna destroy everything.
Yeah.
And I read that Chris Hemsworth himself was so sick of playing Thor the way that he had been playing him for almost, I think, 10 years at this point, right? He's just like, this guy doesn't do anything. He has no depth, no complexity.
Yeah.
So he talked to the director, and the director was like, great, because that's exactly what I think.
Yes.
I think that this sucks, and we need to blow it all up. And they actually did, to great effect.
Yeah.
But there's also lots of other little, subtle parts of it that I really like. The visuals are phenomenal.
They're amazing.
They're amazing, right? Just like all those incredible primary colors. And I'm not a film person, so I don't really have the vocabulary for it. But it just looks dope.
I liked it. It was amazing. It blew my pants off.
I also read about how they had to fight to get the Led Zeppelin Immigrant Song on there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that Taika Waititi was kept pushing Led Zeppelin to be like, please, 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 you have to let us use this song.
You won't regret it.
You won't regret it. I'm so glad that he won that fight because it just makes he uses it in the first scene of the movie and he uses it in the climactic battle.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of my top cinematic moments of 2017.
I agree. And it's funny because after, you know, the Monday after it came out, and, you know, all my comic book nerd friends were talking about it, and someone was like, yeah, but did he have to use that Led Zeppelin song twice? I'm like, yes, he absolutely had to. Yes, he did, and I'm so glad he did, and thank God that he did, because that was amazing.
It was
such a good use of that. Like, it just was perfection.
It was really good, and I love the restraint, too, right? Because a lot of other people could have used Led Zeppelin songs throughout the history, but the fact that, of the history of the Marvel films, but like the fact that they used it for this one and in this movie,
it was perfect.
Chef's
and
kiss.
And it's even funnier because he used it in one of the trailers. So it's like,
yeah,
this song is very prevalent.
Like, we knew.
Yes. And yet it still worked so well, and I didn't care. And it was wonderful. Like, that was, I don't know, that man just did so right by everything.
Oh my God. I mean, praise. Okay. Can we talk about Valkyrie?
We can talk about Valkyrie.
You already know this, but I'm super ragey about the fact that she doesn't have an actual name.
Yes. She's
Valkyrie.
Just Valkyrie.
Yeah, that's her job. That's not her name.
What?
They named her, I think, on Sakaar, she went by Scrapper 1234 or something. Yeah.
And in the comics, her name is Brunhilde. Like, she's
and she's
the
this, like,
actual Valkyrie. She's a
beautiful,
huge,
like,
tall,
white lady
with blonde hair and pigtails, which, I, as I've said to you before, I like, if they had thrown in some pigtails in there, holy crap, I would have lost it. I would have loved that so much. But you know what? Like, her hair was amazing. She was amazing. So I'm not complaining. But oh my God, that would have been so good.
I love Tessa Thompson. I thought she's phenomenal.
Yes,
I think
so good.
She can definitely hold her own against Chris Hemsworth too, which is rare.
Yes.
No, not rare. I should take that back. It's just like, it's hard because he has a lot of like actual physical presence.
Yes.
And she's able to hold her own against that kind of physical
Absolutely.
Presence.
Yeah.
I also read this great article about how Valkyrie was given all the foibles and flaws that a lot of male characters usually get without her having to compensate for that, because she's like this drunk, right?
She's
like a drunk who is like reeling from her past life,
bounty hunter
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's no talk of redeeming her, right?
No.
Like, Hemsworth is not there to redeem her.
Yes.
He's not there to make her not drink. Because she says very specifically, I'm still going to keep drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I'll go back to Asgard, but I'm still going to
keep
drinking.
Yes.
And I thought that was actually really refreshing and very subtle, too. Because
I didn't even catch it until you just said it.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit, that's actually true.
It's very true.
It's very true. Like, usually women come into these roles and they have to be safe. Or they get neutralized a little bit, and he just lets her be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that also comes with her not being a romantic mm-hmm. interest as well. Like, it's not like, oh, now I have a boyfriend, so I don't have to go drink anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's just, again, she's just another warrior. She does her thing, and that's what she's going to do. And
she's changed. Yeah, she's changed in the fact that, like, she's not going to run from her past anymore.
Yep.
And, like, thanks to all of her Asgardian friends who helped her realize that.
Yay.
But he's not out to change her as a person. I was like, oh, I didn't realize how huge that was and how condescending it can feel to be like, oh, you're going to find somebody and all your flaws will disappear. No.
No.
You're still going to be super fucked up.
You're still going to suck.
You're still going to suck. And again, they also wanted to make her bisexual.
Yes.
And it would have been cool, and they can still do it.
Yes.
But I appreciate the fact that it was just in the end left out, just because they didn't want, like, that entanglement in there.
Yeah. I mean, bisexual, she could have been a lesbian.
Yeah,
either.
She could have been a lesbian.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I guess bisexual
they
would
wanted...
have been like if she hooked up with Chris or with Thor.
Right.
You know, okay, well, she's bisexual. No, you know what? Let's just not even deal with that. Let's just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let's go.
Let's
fight.
Yeah, it's definitely because it just was not pressing to tell the story.
No.
Like, your planet's being destroyed. Like, you can worry about hooking up later.
It can be a DVD extra.
I can't wait for those DVD extras. Hella.
Hella was
Kate
so good. Oh, my God. She was, you know, just a force. Like, she came in. She was such a good villain.
Mm-hmm.
She played it so well. Like, not too over the top, not too campy, but just over the top enough to be like, bitch, I'm a goddess. I'm the goddess of death. Like, you can't play that. You can't do that meekly, but you can't, you know,
there's a fine line of camp, right? Yes. She embraced it without kind of transcending it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. She was so good. And just all her visuals, where she's just throwing knives in it. Like, those are so impressive. So, mm-hmm. When she takes out that whole, when she kills, spoiler alert, the Warriors 3 and yes. everything, like, she takes down, like, an army by herself, just like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, amazing.
She's not to be trifled with.
No.
The other thing I really liked about this movie, and this goes back to how we talked about Loki not being definitively good or definitively bad, is that at least in this film, it's debatable whether or not our heroes win or lose, right? Because you can read it either way.
Absolutely.
Generally, the outcome is, oh, they're going to save Asgard and they'll destroy Hela or something will happen, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But this is very much, I know they keep running this line into the ground that Asgard is a people, not a place. And so, yes, in that sense, it's a victory that they got a small percentage of the population off planet. But let's assume a ton of people died.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I would say so. There's that's another thing that's rare in superhero movies is that your superhero lost.
It's interesting because they also said that, you know, they went through the whole movie. You know, he was saying he's going to stop Ragnarok, but it's like apparently Ragnarok was going to happen no matter what. So is it a loss?
Well, yeah.
You know, like, okay, it happened. It was meant to happen. It was supposed to happen. But like you said, tons of people died.
So, yeah, it's a little bit ambiguous, right?
It's not a little bit. It's a lot ambiguous,
because
I think.
It's like, okay, well, this motherfucker lost his eye. His dad is dead.
His hammer.
His hammer's gone. This was very traumatic for him, right? We put for such a funny, light movie that feels really lighthearted, they put our hero through the ringer.
They really did.
Yeah. And they just fucked up his whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just turned it upside down and destroyed everything he's ever known about that.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, that's done.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Which is a blessing.
Bam. And there it is.
Hey, thanks for hanging out.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.